My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now with the American Enterprise Unit. We want to get his thoughts as the debate rages this week over the Obama administration's approach to ISIS, the terminology used to define our enemy, and some of the other comments being made by administration officials this week, in addition to some of the actual developments in the world over the past several days. And Mr. Ambassador, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
Right now, the administration is in the midst of a three-day summit on confronting violent extremism. They have not used the term Islamic extremism. And Eric Holder, the attorney general, had this to say about it on Tuesday at the National Press Club when asked about why the administration doesn't use that terminology.
If Fox didn't talk about this, they'd have nothing else to talk about, it would seem to me. You know, Islamic extremism, you know, I'm not sure an awful lot is gained by saying that. That doesn't have any impact on our military posture. So I don't worry an awful lot about what the appropriate terminology, you know, ought to be. You know, and I think people need to actually think about that and think about, really, are we having this conversation about words as opposed to what our actions ought to be?
Mr. Ambassador, what do you make of their reluctance to use that term and their explanation for it not being important?
Well, I think it reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of the threat that we face, but it's been a misunderstanding they've had for six straight years. The president said back in the 2008 campaign he considered terrorism to be a law enforcement matter, something we could handle by arresting terrorists and trying them in federal court. He doesn't treat it as a war. He doesn't want to acknowledge that that the threat is much graver than sort of robbing the local drugstore, except a little bit more serious. And I think that this whole approach guarantees, in effect, that the terrorist threat will continue to be with us for a long time and even grow. They're the ones that are waging the war. They know what they are. They think they're Islamic. And you know, the people who are the most significant victims of this kind of terrorism have been other Muslims. So it really is hiding your head in the sand to think that by avoiding calling it Islamicist radicalism or whatever term you like, but by simply using euphemism, that somehow that's going to make a difference.
How would it specifically make the fight easier or better or bring in more people to use that terminology? What advantages are there in confronting an enemy when you use clear, defining language?
Well, I think it's twofold. Number one, we are facing an ideology. It's an anti-Western ideology. It's a radical view of Islam. It's a political ideology that describes the kind of world they want. And I think you can help build international coalitions more readily if people understand what they're facing. I don't think in the Arab and the larger Muslim world, for example, there's any misunderstanding of what the nature of this threat is. And it's, in a way, it's patronizing to Muslims to act as though somehow they are completely homogenous in their thinking and that they'll be insulted by describing this threat for what it is. I think it's also important domestically so that Americans understand we're not opposing an abstraction known as terrorism, nor are we opposing terrorism in every single manifestation. We don't care about what's left about Irish Republican Army terrorism. We're not concerned about the Basque separatists in Spain and France. The terrorist threat that the United States and the West as a whole faces is very specific. And if you can't describe it, people can't get their arms around the steps that will be necessary to eliminate that threat.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And sir, the comments that have probably gotten the most attention this week came Monday on MSNBC when State Department spokesperson Marie Harf was on Hardball with Chris Matthews. And in addition to saying that we're going to try to continue killing enemies affiliated with ISIS, she said this.
We cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. We need in the longer term, medium and longer term, to go after the root causes that leads people to join these groups, whether it's lack of opportunity for jobs. We can work with countries around the world to help improve their governance. We can help them build their economy so they can have job opportunities for these people.
Obviously, there's a fierce debate following that. What was your reaction to her message?
Well, I think this is embarrassing. It's so ridiculous, but it reflects the ideology of the left, what Karl Marx called economic determinism, that everything in the world is caused by economics, politics, religion, as Marx called it, or simply the superstructures of economics. And today's leftists believe that every problem in the world is caused by poverty. So this child is out there saying, you know, if these guys had jobs, they wouldn't pick up AK-47. I think that utterly ignores the role of ideology and politics in world affairs. Osama bin Laden didn't lack for job opportunities, nor do many of these other terrorists. It's if poverty were the source of terrorism, Haiti would be one of the most terrorist countries in the world. So it's so simple-minded that you'd think that nobody would pay attention to it. In fact, you'd think ultimately nobody would say such foolish things, but so much for our educational system.
In trying to defend herself on Wednesday, Harf cited comments from former Secretary of State Colin Powell and even President George W. Bush suggesting that confronting poverty is a way to reduce the threat of terrorism. You were at the State Department in those years. Is she getting their quotes right? What did they mean at the time, and what do you make of that defense on her part?
Well, you know, I haven't seen the exact quote she's using, and I don't doubt that that you can take remarks out of context in a way that makes it look like it supports her position. But she could have Mother Teresa on her side, and it still wouldn't reflect reality.
Sir, obviously a very consequential week in the fight against ISIS. We had the beheading of the Coptic Christians in Libya. We had, obviously, the shooting and killing of one person and the attacks in Copenhagen, Denmark. If you were to advise this administration or address this summit, what's the way to really get our hands around the throat of ISIS and choke the life out of them here? What's the smart way to deal with this once and for all?
Well, you have to treat it as the kind of threat that it is, and deal with it as if we're in a war. It comes back to the same fundamental point. Instead, you have the president talking about random acts of violence as if it's purely coincidence that it was a kosher deli in Paris, that it was a synagogue, a person guarding a synagogue in Copenhagen, and on and on and on. I think that that the average voter really does understand the nature of this threat, and I think it's important that we have a discussion about it. And the way ultimately you eliminate the threat is to go after the territory they control, not just by sporadic pinprick bombing raids, but by forging a coalition and using effective military force. I think we're blinking at reality if we don't see that that's ultimately what we need to do.
Two very quick questions before we let you go. Number one, the president last week issued his request for the authorization of the use of military force from Congress. Some like it because Congress hadn't really been consulted over the past several months in this campaign. Others say it's too restrictive and doesn't last long enough. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I think it's an entirely political document by the president. That's all he's doing. He's not seriously addressing ISIS. I would vote against his text. I think you've got authority under the Constitution and under the 2002 war power the resolution that granted President Bush authority to use military force. The only thing that's required is a one-sentence resolution that says the president's authorized to use all necessary means to destroy ISIS and all its affiliates. And if you went with that, that would be perfectly satisfactory.
Last question, and this is a topic that was big news for about 24 hours last week, but has obviously gotten overshadowed by many other things in the war on terror, and that is the U.S. evacuation from Yemen and essentially ceding that ground, it would appear, to al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, as well as Houthi rebels aligned with Iran. How significant is our departure from there, and what do you expect to happen there?
Well, I think it's unfortunately a symbol of the decline of American influence, of the country spinning out of control, of both the Houthis and AQAP now having Yemen as a base of operations. And it's a reflection of the failure of the whole Obama administration terrorist strategy. What he once called an example of the success of his strategy has turned into a debacle.
Mr. Ambassador, a lot to keep our eyes on. Thank you very much for helping us do so.
Well, thanks again for having me.
You bet, sir. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. Now with the American Enterprise Institute, I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.